by grace. The key chapter of this book would be chapter 5, where he contrasts the walking with the Lord and walking in the flesh. And the key verse is chapter 5, verse 1. And while you turn to Galatians, I'll read that to you. Galatians 5, 1 is the key verse of this book, where it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And that bondage, he talks about being bound to the law and being bound to the legalism of you got to do this in order to be saved. And God never said such. God said that salvation is by grace through faith. And when these people in Galatia was getting saved, they were being told, "It's good that you got saved, but you got to get baptized before you go to heaven. You got to get circumcised before you go to heaven," and stuff like that. Or, "You don't love God if," and, you know, different things like that. I got one for you tonight that I think we ought to approach more than we do, and that's this. Did God write this book? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, the Holy Spirit, by inspiration, wrote this book according to chapter 1, verse 1, by inspiration, through the Apostle Paul, where it says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." So according to what we understand about the Scripture, God wrote this book. According to Psalm 12, God preserved this book. And the God of the Bible is big enough to create heaven and earth. He's big enough to raise His Son from the dead. He's big enough to save our soul from hell. It's not too far stretched that He could keep one book together and preserve it forever. I have a bigger problem that the whole thing, we're sitting out in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of mud and water put together, and we don't fly apart and go out in space somewhere. Or that the earth don't move one inch closer to the sun, or the sun move one inch closer to us and burn us all to pieces. There's harder things to believe than God kept a book together for us. But I want to say this. Once you believe this book and you believe God kept this book, all the rest of that stuff's really not that hard. You just find in here where it says it and you believe it and go on to the next thing. So it's that simple. We find out that Galatians was probably written somewhere between 49 to 52 A.D., somewhere around there. If you don't like those dates, you can argue amongst yourselves. I won't care one way or the other. I just know we have it for us right here tonight. It's still here. And if I was going to look at this book analytically, I'd say it had 6 chapters, 149 verses, 3,084 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever for us in our King James Bible, on somewhere according to about a 4.8 grade level, according to the one syllable words we have in Galatians. The first 2 chapters deal with defending the gospel. Then chapters 3 and 4 deal with declaring the gospel. Then chapters 5 and 6 deal with the matter of desiring the gospel. When he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, we desire the gospel to work in people's lives so we can see that come forward in somebody's life. Nobody likes to see old Christian walking in the flesh and walking after the flesh and being like the devil. No, we want to see people get saved and have all 9 elements of the fruit of the Spirit working in their lives and see God blessing that person and doing a great work. But what we found is a lot of times is a lot of folks make professions of faith that are not saved. And they go into a church, and then the first little chance they get, they try to stir up all kind of trouble and fight about this and fight about that. Or, "He preached against smoking, and I like to smoke," and all this other stuff. If you just tell the truth, that's what it's really about. "I like to run around naked, and he preached how to put clothes on." That's what it's really gotten mad about. It had nothing to do with the color of the carpet. "He preached I need to read the Bible every day, and I just can't do it. I got so many things. I'm so busy." You know, I read, back when I was in high school, back in the 80s, I read this thing about the presidents that read the Bible. Now, I can't tell you which ones do it now or since then, but there's an article that was in our history book about the presidents that read the Bible. Now, if you think about a man that's got a lot of things to do in a day and still find time to read the Bible, isn't that something? You ever heard of that presidential library they have? You know what that is? That's the books them men read. You know what the most read book in that library is? The Bible. And it's not the NIV or the New American Standard or the HIV or any of them. It is the King James Bible still. And I notice as we look in Galatians tonight, I want to show you some things tonight I believe will help you. 16 in the Bible, if you do Bible number studies, is a number for love. And in every verse, number 16 in Galatians, it shows us something about love, and it reveals the things of Jesus Christ about love. If you look at chapter 1, verse 16, we'll look at the first one together. Chapter 1, verse 16. The first 16 says this. It shows us the person of Christ and reveals His love towards us because it says this. Paul said, to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. What did God want to do with Paul? He wanted him to learn about the person of Christ so he could preach about the person of Christ. Listen, when I got saved, I couldn't tell you a whole lot about the Lord, but the more I spent time with Him, I understand some things about Him now. And it's just like a marriage. When you first get married, all you know is that that person's pretty. That's all you know. And some of you, listen, or you girls say, oh, he's so handsome. That's all you know. 25, 30 years down the road, you say, you know what? I know what they think about such and such. We've talked about it. I know how they feel about this thing over here because we've spoken about it. I know how they're going to react to certain weather patterns because I watched them do it. And that's what we find in this. Hey, listen, He said here to reveal His Son in me. God wants to reveal the person of Christ in you. And He does that through showing you how much He loved you, how much He gave Himself for you, how much He sacrificed when He let His only begotten Son die on the cross for you. And when we get to looking at that, look at verse 16 there again. To reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. He didn't say go to that religious crowd. He didn't say go to the religious lost crowd. He said go to the heathen. I want to find the heathens. We ain't got many heathens no more. Used to, let me tell you something. Used to, we said the heathen was in the deepest, dark corners of Africa. They had bones on their nose and marked up their bodies and everything like that. Now we just go to the convenience store and we can find them gathering around buying beer dressed just like that now. We can find the heathen. But what we got to do is take and show them the person of Christ. Listen, hey, and preach Him among the heathen. Paul said very important here. I want you to underline this. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now a lot of people go around and say Paul spent 3 years in Arabian desert by himself. Watch this, verse 17. Never take scripture out of context. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Verse 18, circle this word. Then, underline this, after 3 years. Paul went to Arabia and immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. Come back to Damascus and sat under a guy that came by and prayed for him named Ananias. And he sat under Pastor Ananias for a period of time there before he went up to Jerusalem. He didn't hang out in the Arabian desert and start a Bible college. Listen, he went out to the Arabian desert out there. Then he come back and sat under that pastor. And everything you find out good about Paul comes from the fact he was local church from day one. You know why he's like that? Because he followed Jesus. And it was this guy right here in these verses right in this that said, follow me as I follow Christ. What a bad example he'd have been if he'd have went out and stayed in the desert solitary for 3 years by himself. I've heard these yokels get up and say, well, my ministry is like that of the Apostle Paul. Really? How many times has somebody threw a rock and hit you right in the face and 20 more come behind it? You get tore up because some little blue-haired lady said, I'm going to tell my husband that the next deacon's meeting not to vote with you. We think that's persecution, don't we? I see he said of me that I conferred not with flesh and blood. He had to make sure this thing was real. And God wanted to reveal the person of Christ through him. And then if you look in chapter 2, verse 16, he says this. These are things that reveal the love of God through Christ Jesus that He showed them to Paul and showing to you. He said, knowing, chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus. He said, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Not only see the person of Christ revealed, and we see that what the Lord wants to do with that in your life, also the plan of Christ is revealed. You ought to stop and just thank God you didn't have to work your way to heaven. Because if you would have, if God would allow that to be possible, there'd be several things happen. Number one, there would be nobody in heaven but God. Because eventually, somewhere along the way, you would mess up. There would be something you would do inadvertently because your flesh is weak, your flesh is carnal, and he points out some of the things in chapter 5 that you would mess up and do, but he said there that this thing is by faith of Christ. If we plug into that thing and we get secure in that thing, we see this has to do with the plan of God. It was never God's plan. Never God's plan for a man to work his way to heaven. Because before the foundation of the world, the prophet Jeremiah said Christ, he was crucified before the foundation of the world. Hey, listen, before the foundation of the world, God had men he had set aside to preach and all these things that he had planned. And if that had anything to do with works other than the works of the cross being finished, none of it would have worked. It was God's plan of the ages to bring about one tree to grow up and the fertility to be cut down, cut apart, made into a shape of a cross, that His Son would die on there and shed His precious blood for the sins of the world. That was always God's plan. I know a lot of people struggle with that, but I'm going to tell you something. It's just as simple as that. Getting saved isn't the hard part. Getting saved is the easy part because the getting saved part's already been done. You got to accept the payment.
Right.
Y'all ever buy anything with that PayPal thing on the internet? You send money to somebody. You know there's a two-way street on that thing? You send it to them, but they got to receive it.
Yep.
Let's say tonight you were to send a man $500 or $600 or $1,000 for some automobile part or something or some frog collectible or some garbage like that. Should probably be took out and shot with a BB gun. Don't say amen. You'll be in so much trouble. But listen to this. You go out there and you pay your money for that thing, and you send that thing, it goes from your bank account, and you check your bank account. There's your $1,000 gone. You check your PayPal account, and there's your $1,000 gone. And then a few days later, somebody sends you an email that says, when you pay me, I'll send it. And you're thinking, I've already paid it. And you look at that thing, it says you paid it, and you call the guy, listen, I paid it. It says I paid it. He said, it ain't in my bank account. And you go back to your account and you scan down through all them things and you see this little button right down there, a little fine print, and it says, buyer has not accepted payment. So you call that dude back and say, listen, I need you to hit one button on that page. Hit the accept button. That's all you got to do, and the money's yours. What would you do if they said, I'll think about it? Let me have some time. I'm not sure I want to do that right now. Imagine that's how God feels when He looks at His bank account and sees all the blood has been paid, the blood has paid for the sins of this world, and somebody says, I'll think about it. How about this? How about that sin of not doing what God says? That's on Jesus. Has it ever occurred to you that them small things we do that we think God's okay with, Jesus had to suffer, bleed, and die for them? You say, well, that's before I got saved. No, I'm talking about since you've been saved. See, you still ain't working your way to heaven even after you're saved. I noticed in that thing, it says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I wish them Seventh-day disadvantage would get a hold of that and see that you can't keep a Sabbath and quit eating bologna to get to heaven. Because that's what this book plainly teaches right there. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's always been the plan of God. It's always been the plan of God that we'd come to Him by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We see the person of Christ, the plan of Christ. Look over at chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. When God was getting all this together, He had a plan. In order to have a plan, He had to have chapter 3, verse 16. He had to have the preparation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to the seeds of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. We see the preparation of Jesus Christ and the fact that God promised Abraham that He was going to bring forth the Savior of this world through him, and that by him there would be untold multitudes get saved. He said, I'm going to bless your descendants, the Jews, but I'm going to bring my Son through your descendants. If you're wondering why the Jews blessed, it's because God chose them to be that way, and because He brought His Son through there, He brought His Scriptures through there, and one day He's coming back to bring a whole army to take care of everybody that's messing with that Jew over there. Do you know how true this Bible is? They can't wipe that Jew off the face of this earth with nuclear bombs. You know why Iran's wanting nuclear weapons? They're not doing that to get us. They're doing that to get them. And you know what they're going to find out? Either they're not going to be able to get them finished, or God just won't let them have it.
Right.
And here's a strange thing. If they were to bomb Jerusalem right now, if they were to bomb it right now, there's so many Jews in New York, they'd take offense to that. They'd go over and stop them themselves. Amen, friend. You don't know what you're messing with something like that. God will turn the hearts of them people in a second on stuff like that. And I found out that the preparation of the Jew, it comes through, listen, Jesus Christ come through that Jew, it come through Abraham, it come all the way through there, and he mentions something here, he says, and he says, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. If you go do a little biological research, you'll find out that a woman does not carry her own seed. That's the man. And somehow, God got it right in Genesis chapter 3 when he told the devil that the seed of the woman was going to bruise him. Woman don't have no seed. Probably for thousands of years, nobody knew exactly what that meant. But you know what that tells us looking back on it? God's going to send his son born of a virgin. Because a woman can't produce a seed. Isn't that something? Boy, God's smart, ain't he? He knows some stuff, don't he? I see here the preparation. He got that whole thing in line. He kept those people right where he wanted them over there. And then when there was a scripture over there that he said his son would be called out of Egypt, he sent Mary and Joseph and Jesus down to Egypt so he could bring them out of them to fulfill the scripture.
Right.
Now notice this. We've got the preparation and the plan and the person of Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. Again, this is under the inspiration of God. The Bible says this, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I see here the preaching of Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus, when we talk about preaching Jesus, that's not to sit around and act like some kind of sissy that needs lace sewed on his drawers. That's not the preaching of Jesus. The preaching of Jesus is the truth about him from his truth, which is his word. And when we look for him and we see him here, we mentioned that our outline was declaring the gospel over there in chapter 3 and 4. And he is the gospel. It is about his death, burial, and resurrection. Hey, listen, let me look at this thing very clearly and put it to modern terminology. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth about Muslims? You know, I'm sick to death of hearing how them people are just tolerant and peaceful and all this other stuff. Listen, I don't know where they read world history at. They obviously didn't have Coach Wells for it like I did. Coach Wells told us them people's crazy. They want to kill each other all the time. And the only thing they hate worse than each other are Jewish people and Americans. All of them like that. You say, well, I know one that lives over here. You know one lives over here straight to death and going to prison. Or he'd be doing the same thing, and he'd be hollering, la, 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 jihad and all that other business. We got something for him. Here it is, the preaching of Jesus. Because, see, the truth will cut through all them lies. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Hey, you know what they need? They don't need to hear how we got the same God. They need to hear we got a different God. And they need to hear how this God, instead of wanting them to die for their salvation, he died for theirs. That's the message. That's the preaching of Jesus. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth, Jehovah's Witnesses? Jesus is not a created God. Your Greek text is wrong and your English text is wrong. He is not a created God. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's 100% God and 100% man. He came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. He had an inerrant life. And that word inerrant, I looked it up, means there was no possible way of making an error. He's infallible because there's no way he can fail. And I see that his word's just like him. And we go to preaching that thing, we don't have to get up here and tell you the Greek says anything. What we got to do is get up and tell you what God says. And I see that, my therefore, because I tell you the truth, hey, listen, Jehovah's Witnesses, you don't have to go out and sell magazines to go to heaven.
Right.
You don't have to sit through another boring service down at the Watchtower. Or the Kingdom Hall. I'm sorry, I get them things mixed up. They all the same. You don't have to be another. Listen, you don't have to carry that leather briefcase nowhere else. You can go to heaven by the grace of God.
Right. Yeah.
Am I therefore you become your enemy because I tell you the truth, Mormons? Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? That you don't need 700 mother-in-laws in heaven to be happy? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth that God never said you need to, you know, God created man for woman and woman and woman and woman and woman?
Right.
He said, they don't do that. Go down to Columbia to the temple and fly up to Utah and compare how they do the things out there. Then come back and tell me what you really think about it. And don't tell me none of their lies about you so spiritual I can't understand you. I understand you plain. You speak in English and I'll figure it out. Even the big words. Because I know something that you don't. I got a dictionary app here. As for you eggheads that come along and try to run them big words by me, I'll look them up and find out if you cussing me or praising me. I want to know. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Masonic Lodge? Hey, listen. I don't have to have Masonic Lodge to enhance my relationship with God.
Right.
Never had to have it. All I got to have is Jesus. So what are them guys doing? Don't care. All I know is this. When I run into a symbol with a circle and an upside down 5-point star, and I see that on the back of your car, I'm going to assume that you are hanging out with Motley Crue and Rush, and that you own both their records because theirs have that same symbol on it. They call that thing a pentagram and they worship the devil with it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Either it is or it ain't.
Right.
Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth, Bible corrector? See, because we talk about the preaching of Jesus, we don't correct him, he corrects us. When the Bible corrector comes along and says, well, now you know my education has taught me that there's better English text and there's better Greek text. Can I tell you something about that crowd that they won't tell you? Here it is. They don't believe there's an inerrant, infallible Bible anywhere. They think they are the sole authority that you got to come to them to find out what the Bible says, when it said it, and everything. And if they say, well, we believe that such and such is the correct text, theologically question them on that text, you'll find out they don't believe that either. They think they're some kind of little pope, and they're trying to get their way to the top to be the big pope. Happens in the Catholic Church every day at Mass. Everybody trying to jockey for position. Hey, listen, that's the preaching of Jesus. You say, that's rough stuff. That's rough. John the Baptist preached that way. You know what it got him? Got his head cut off.
Right.
Us, again, some little old lady says, I don't agree with you. She don't agree with me. I'm going to resign and go find another church. What if a man disagreed with you? What would you do? Just fall out and have a fainting spell? Is that where the charismatic movement come from? Some man standing up, another man he fell out on. Oh, he must have been slain in the spirit. Look at there. Is that how that worked? Let's look at another one since you can't handle that one. We see the preaching of Jesus. That's the real preaching of Jesus. Look at chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now we look at the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. Because God so loved you, He knew that there was no way you would work your way to heaven. So Jesus died for you so you could accept His payment for your sin. And then, because He knew you would not be able to stay out of trouble after you got saved, He sealed you into the day of redemption by His Holy Spirit of promise. He sealed you by Him. That way, when the rapture happens, you won't get left. Because when He says, come up hither, Holy Ghost is going up hither. Listen, when you die, you don't know how to get to heaven. You might be able to tell me from the Bible how a person can know they're going to heaven, but most people can't read the Bible and find out where heaven is. They don't know. You get all kind of theories from people. It's another dimension. It's on a higher plane. It's here on earth. But heaven is a physical place located somewhere.
Right.
The best I understand it by the book of Job, Psalm, and Revelation is this. Is that if you go to the northernmost point of this planet, and if it's pointing to the northernmost place from that part, if you go straight up, and if that literally is there, and you can go straight north from there, you would keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going till eventually you'd run out of galaxy and run into a body of water, and then you'd go through that body of water, you would notice it's froze on the other side, and when you pass through there, you look back and you see a crystal sea. Now, I couldn't drive you there tonight. But that's where the Bible describes where it's at.
Yeah.
But I can't find it. That's why when you get saved, God seals you by the Holy Spirit, because He knows exactly where it's at.
Right.
You ever heard of the action when the body is to be present with the Lord? You know how that's going to happen? He's going to take you there like that.
Right.
That little journey I just described to you, if you got on a bicycle to do it, it would take you 150 billion years to get one-tenth of the way. One-tenth in 150 billion years. And that's for those of you who's in shape. The rest of us will be way behind you. But God said to be absent when the body would be present with the Lord. He'd be traveling faster than light speed. He'd have you there in a second. You'd, before your body hit the floor dead, you'd be sitting there in heaven shouting the glory of God, have your feet planted on a street of gold, running up down them things saying, praise you, Jesus, I love you. And you'd be there, and it's all because of the power of Jesus. He left the Holy Spirit here as a comforter and as His source of power to be able to use you on this planet to do things for Him. Yeah. Chapter 6, verse 16, not only see the power, the preaching, the person and plan of Jesus, but chapter 6, verse 16, He said, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. As many as walk according to this rule, here's the word, the peace of Jesus Christ. Right now, a lot of people have tried to replace Jesus with the God of their own mind. But when the chips fall and everything gets bad, that's when it's revealed who the real God is.
Right.
When things get rough and the river gets rough, we find out this. We find out you're either on the shore watching the river run, or you in a boat you know won't sink.
Yep.
One or the other. We were raised here with something called the Broad River. And when I was a child, I said, why is that called the Broad River? And they said, because it's so wide. Now, I grew up all my life hearing that. A lot of people say that around here. One day I had to drive somewhere, and I wound up driving something called the Mississippi River. And that thing had a bridge on it that was bigger than the bridge that spans the Broad River, if you can believe that. I rode across that bridge thinking, they should have named this outfit the Broad River. We could name that other one something else. But I know this much. When that water got real low, and it was low down here, I don't know how the Mississippi was affected, but I know the Broad looked like a creek there for a while. You could ride over on 29 before they replaced that bridge and look out there and see where people had tried to dump their old oil cans and everything else out there over the side of that bridge. And I'm not talking about ones you put in your car. I'm talking about the big old tanks that rust out. They just toss them over the side of that river because it was deep. Nobody would ever find them. Boy, that water got low and there's everything, including Jimmy Hoffa under all that stuff. You go up there to 150 and go through North Carolina, headed to Bowling Springs, and it was like a little creek going through the little mud patch through there. You could see all the flip-flops that people had lost and little things out there and all that. And all that stuff was revealed like that. And do you know when folks come in and they're trying to live the Christian life outside of Jesus, you know what God does? He just sits there and turns the water down on them a little bit so it'll be revealed they don't have the peace they said they have. And once all that comes to the surface, it's not so you can sit there and have a pity party and say, you know what, I'm just the worst person in the world. I must be the worst Christian ever. No, it's so you can say, Lord, you are right. I need that peace that you're talking about, the peace that passes my understanding. I don't get it, but I want it. And God will turn the water back on, and then He'll wash all that stuff downstream for you. It'll be out of your life, and you got the peace of Jesus Christ. And you just don't know what to do with yourself then. Because then all of a sudden, it looks like nothing bothers you. You know why? Nothing bothers you. You've got His peace. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one.